Welcome to Arlington.
Arlington Church of the Brethren.
Welcome to Arlington Church of the Brethren. To Arlington Church of the Brethren.
Welcome.
Welcome to Arlington Church of the Brethren.
Brethren. Church of the Brethren.
To Arlington Church of the Brethren.
Welcome to Arlington Church of the Brethren.
Christ be in my mind and in my thinking. Christ be in my eyes. Everything I see, Christ be in my ears and in my hearing, Christ be in my mouth, in every word I speak.
Charles Albert Tinley was born in 1851, a black child into a pre-Civil War USA. His mother was a free woman. So Charles, too, was free, but his father was a slave, so he ended up being raised among and primarily by slaves. He eventually became a janitor of a church in Philadelphia. Seeking the help of a local synagogue, Charles was able to learn Hebrew and Greek, thus without formal education, qualifying for ordination in the Methodist tradition. And so Charles became the pastor of the church he worked at. The church had about 130 members at the time and grew through his leadership to 10,000. Among Tinley's many accomplishments and amazing stories in life, Tinley was a talented songwriter and composer of gospel hymns. I know we have at least one Tinley song in our blue hymnals. In fact, it was on the facing page in the red hymnal we just had open. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. Let me give a couple songs. Let's sing them if you know them. It goes, when the storms of life are raging, stand by me. That's right. I know, it's always the thing when you sing together. When do you stop or not stop? That's good. Thank you. No, thanks so much, bro. You're going to like this next part. It's said that those lyrics inspired the later and more famous song with the same title, Stand By Me. In 1900, he published a hymn. Some people believe he first heard the version in the fields growing up. A hymn he titled, I'll Overcome Someday. Zilphia Horton was born in a small mining village in Arkansas in 1910. Of Spanish and indigenous heritage, Zilphia attended the University of the Ozarks and became a classically trained musician, dedicating herself to her musical talents for the betterment of the Southern working class. And so, among all her many great life achievements, two children, her working with youth theater programs, her work organizing local unions and standing on picket lines, Zilphia might be best remembered in history as someone who used the process of folk music to rewrite a number of songs into the versions we know today, including, and here we go, brother, ready? Keep your eyes on the prize, hold on. A lot of blank stares on that one. You don't know that one? Wow, okay. I'll see if I can find a hymn of that. We'll sing it next week, maybe. Here's one you might know better. We shall not be moved. We shall not be moved. A tree stand. That's right. We shall not be moved. Thank you, brother. I didn't look it up. I think we might have sung that one a couple weeks ago. And of course, everyone knows this one. Join in. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light. And one day, probably in the 1940s, she had a chance to sing a song for Pete Seeger, Charles Tindley's hymn, "I'll Overcome Someday." Well, Pete Seeger was born in 1919, eventually becoming an American icon for social activism and folk music. In answering the question, "What is your profession?" he one time answered this, and I'm quoting from the Washington Post, "I have worked at many things, and my main profession is a student of American folklore." American folklore. Not highly manufactured and sung on top 40 lists on the radio, but it's sung and passed on from mother to son, from father to daughter. It's sung in the fields. It's sung when our emotions get real or children get tired. It's passed on in an oral tradition, and as music is passed on, sometimes the tunes stay the same. And other times a musician may choose to change it a little. And if the new version is good enough, other people may sing it that way too. Pete Seeger called this the folk process, the passing on of music, the continual reshaping exactly how it sounds until finally something clicks and it sounds right and everyone starts singing it the same way. The folk process. Well, Pete Seeger heard the hymn, thought he'd put his own stamp on it, and it is Pete Seeger's rendition that we still sing today. Nothing would have stopped Pete from claiming a copyright on his version, "We Shall Overcome." But he honored the folk tradition. The copyright has four names on it, including Pete's and Zofia's. And they committed that most of the proceeds from the song go to a nonprofit which focuses on empowering young Black children. The folk process, from the fields to the pulpit, Charles Albert Tindley. From the pulpit to the heart and wider popularity, Zofia Horton. And from the hearts of a few to the hearts of many, the anthem of a civil rights movement in our country and then around the world, Pete Seeger and so many others who have sung the song. This is how stories work in our lives. Stories families tell again and live out in different ways. You're not even always conscious of the story until someone names it or points it out. And that doesn't always happen. But we live out these stories and we repeat many of them and we think about them and they become kind of our own folk process for living, churning around in our hearts and our very souls, affecting us in a way they can't the first time we hear them or tell them. Sometimes it takes hearing it for the 10th time or considering it for the 100th. We were just talking in Sunday school this morning, Rachel Held Evans, quote, that storytelling has been one of humanity's greatest tools for survival, the way we tell stories to each other and continue to consider them. With all due respect to an inspired and sacred text, a great portion of our canonized Bible comes from this very folk tradition, stories so compelling to consider that they were told and retold and retold some more until finally someone thought to write them down a fair portion of what we call the Old Testament was edited and compiled in Babylon. A Jewish people in a captive land, away from their home. What does it say that that is where they chose to edit and compile their stories in written record? They wanted to remember those formational stories and keep retelling them to each other. Well, stories or folk music or our hymns or scriptures, these are all formational pieces for us. It's less about achieving the meaning once, hitting the goal, checking a box, right? It's more about who we want to become as we tell and retell the story, as we consider and reconsider the stories we read. I'll give you a couple examples. Move in Our Midst, most beloved or widely loved brethren hymn. Let's be honest, it's just okay. It's all right. It's an all right hymn. It's good. It might even be a pretty good hymn. I don't know that I loved Move in Our Midst the first time I sang it. I loved it the 100th time I sang it. And each time you sing it with new people in a new setting, in a new worship service, at annual conference, maybe at National Older Adult Conference, at camps in this church, at that other church with your friend, with different communities, you add layers and layers of this muscle memory of meaning. And it gets into your heart and soul and very strength, the fiber of who you are. And so that now, 100 repetitions later, when I sing, Move in Our Midst, Thou Spirit of God, I am almost overcome with emotion. We often quote the scripture, the first shall be last, the last shall be first. I wasn't quite sure what that meant the first time I heard it. But every time I come back to it, every time I revisit the passage, it soaks into my soul more thoroughly. And I slowly become, every time I revisit this passage, I'm reminded to live into this, a person who is willing to let others be first, to be more humble, and most importantly, to be a servant to all. I wonder, what are some of our stories? The collection of individuals in the room, the collection of families in the room, and corporately, as the Arlington Church of the Brethren, what are our stories? What does it mean for us that we bought our land directly from the farmer who cared for the land and earth so deeply as farmers do? What does it mean for us that we still have charter members who come on Sundays? We're always so happy to have you here, sister. From planting a new church in Arlington, the boldness of faith that it took to start something new, to later buying a second parcel of land, the parsonage, for which I am very thankful. And then much later, we tell and retell these stories of boldness, of faith and action. And over the last several years, using that broadly, over the last several years, we've rethought board structures. You added an information minister We host a podcast for young adult voices around the denomination, and many other ways we live out these stories of faith in new ways. As we tell these stories and retell these stories, we add layers, and we are inspired to action still yet. The folk process, as Pete Seeger called it, you take a song that's meant something to people and you tell it and you retell it and you keep retelling it, and sometimes you update it or change it a little for the times. And then sometimes you find that note that resonates. We shall overcome came the anthem of the civil rights movement. It was sung in the march to Washington. It was quoted in Martin Luther King's last sermon he gave. It's been sung everywhere from North Korea to Tiananmen Square to anti-apartheid marches in South Africa, and the list is too exhaustive to name. You know, another story that's been told everywhere, we keep retelling, the gospel, the good news of the resurrection, a story worth telling and retelling through the years and centuries. And we have our story of the Arlington Church of the Brethren that we engage in. And so let us tell our stories to each other and retell our stories to each other until people are telling our story too. Amen.